just awesome. And I know it would be that way if we had 15 people or 515 people. And I appreciate each and every one of y'all, and I love y'all. But it says in God's Word, right before you get to Philippians 4:19, Travis, you put Philippians 4:17 up there, please. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Paul is talking to the Philippian church. They sent him a gift. We're going to talk about that later on in his ministry. And this is what he writes back to them. He says, "Not that I am that I seek or am eager for your gift, but I do seek and am eager for the fruit which increases to your credit." Look at this next part. "The harvest of blessing that is accumulating to your account." That's an Amplified Classic. Remember, you have an account in heaven of your giving. And Paul tells us so right here. And a lot of people, like Brother Scotty says, a lot of people want to, and I have heard a few words and not listened to it, against Brother Scotty about his teaching and preaching on prosperity and giving. But I imagine he is right here in this sentence where it says, "I don't seek or am eager for your gift, but I do seek and am eager for the fruit which increases to your credit." I know that's where he's at. That, and that's what God told him to do. He's going to be obedient to it. But I learned more about giving in the last, in God's, according to God's Word and God's kingdom, in the last 11 years here than I've known all my life. And I appreciate the teaching. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, to be here once again, Father, and speak your word, Father, as you've given it to me. Lord, lift me up, Father God, according to your mouthpiece, Lord. I humble myself before you and be your vessel, Father God, and to speak with clarity, Father God, that which you've given me to speak. And I thank you so much, Lord, for all that you've done for me and my life and my family. In Jesus' name, amen. In Acts 20:35, Paul says that Jesus even said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Anybody that has ever truly given something from the heart knows what that means. I have received a lot of things that made me feel real good. In the time of need, it met my need. In the time of something I wanted, you know, maybe it excited me. But, buddy, I'm going to tell you what, that blessing you get whenever you give does not compare to receiving. And every time I experience it, I thank God for knowing about it. Luke 6:38 starts out by saying, "Give, and it shall be given to you." That's all you have to do is give, and then God takes over. That's his law. God won't break his law. Some people say, "Well, God says if I give this, I'll get that." That's true. But some people want to give, receive the blessing without the giving. And we're going to get into that. God will not break his law for me, for you, for anybody. His word is his word. Well, what's his word and his law? "Give and it shall be given to you." How? "Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom." You can't beat that. Now, this morning I want to talk to you about giving. There's four types of giving. It mentions in the Bible. One is tithes. Number two is first fruits. Number three is alms. And number four is seed giving. Three of those givings go to God. One goes to man. You put Malachi 3:8-12 up there, please, Travis. And it says, "Will a man rob God?" Now, we're going to get in this thing where everybody says, "That's an Old Testament." Well, never mind. We'll get that in a minute. It says, "Will a man rob God?" And then God is talking to the Israelites. But it says, "Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have you robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now, I know we have heard this, and we've heard this, and we've heard this, but I'm going to call it an inkling of revelation. I have given some. People that purpose to be a giver gain. Brother Scotty is quite a few steps, well, we're going to say a mile above me in the degree of knowing this and having it revealed to him and it being revelation to him. And I use him as a reference because I know a little bit of what he does. I don't know all of what he does, and it's none of my business. I just know a little bit. But he teaches us, if he didn't teach us and do what he teaches us, he couldn't be a giver. Because it's not going to work that way. God's not going to give him if he doesn't do what he teaches to be done. He's got to do it himself. Then he's going to gain. Because God's word says, what did it say? Pressed down, shaken together, running over. And if you read in Amplified, like Brother Scotty says, it, bosom means a pouch in your robe. That's what that means, because it's close to you. That's where he gives it to you beautiful. That's exactly where it's going to go. Now, we're starting off with tithe, and it says, will a man rob God? Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I hope I don't offend anybody, but it says it plainly in God's word. If you go to the house of the Lord, and you are a born-again Christian, and you do not tithe, it is your decision. God's not going to make you, by the way. Your decision to give at offering time, look at it like an investment. You got two types of investment. The decision's going to be, you're either going to gain something or it's going to be lucky if you gain something. How is that? If you give according to God's kingdom and invest in it, you're guaranteed to receive. If you invest in the world, what is that called? Stock market, whatever else you want to call it. You might gain something. That's called luck. In God's kingdom, there's no such thing. God says plainly, give and it shall be given to you in four different ways right there. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So we're talking about tithe. I firmly believe and have been taught, God's word says it right here, if you do not give me tithes, let me translate, you are cursed with a curse. Now he's talking to the children of Israel, but the children of Israel to God is like the church to Jesus Christ. Now, everything that God wrote down had written down in the Old Testament is also good for us. Where I get that? Well, you put 2 Timothy 3:16 up there, Travis. You say, well, he's jumping around. Well, it says right here, I can do this. All Scripture. Sister Teresa has told me before, what does all mean, Brother Monty? All. What is in the Old Testament? Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable. That means it's going to do us some good, guaranteed. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So one way or another, that'll cover pretty much everything in the born-again person's life. So I firmly believe if you come to God's house and you have, especially the grown-ups, but even the teenagers, children, but according to what you want, but I know the grown-ups, if you come to God's house and you don't tithe, you're going to be cursed. It says it plainly right there in Malachi. Now, people want to trip up on the word tithe because if they read their Bible, they won't do this. If anybody ever tells you tithing is under the law, then you know right then they hadn't read enough in the Bible. Because it goes all the way back to Genesis 14, chapter 20, when Abraham went out in battle and he came back, and he gave tithes, all that he had, to Melchizedek. And he did that because he said, no man, he gave it to Melchizedek because he's a representative of God. He said, no man is going to say that he made Abraham rich, only the Lord thy God. I'm paraphrasing a little bit there. Now, already we see, but by giving, we're guaranteed in God's kingdom to receive. If we give, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Well, why is that? Because God will bless your giving, no matter what it is. The motivation for giving tithe is obedience. Now, like we've heard before, everybody in this congregation, our tithes and offerings goes to certain things that the church needs, this assembly, this building. Supplies. What God say? so that there be meat in my storehouse. Number one, back in that time, the priest lived in the temple. Well, the priest had to eat. But God didn't want them, you know, they were their only job was to serve God and do his things in the temple and the things that they had to do. So God wanted them to do that, and he didn't want them to go out, so that's what we say, work a job. That's what he had set apart for them to do in their day and time. Nowadays, it's a little different. But still, our pastor works a full-time job, and he comes in here and preaches, ministers to us, receives our calls. I'll give him a few. I don't bug him a lot, but I'll give him a few. Gives us instruction. Sometimes we don't like it. But number one thing, he's always been honest with me. But our tithe helps to take care of all of these things. And what is it for? It's for our benefit. We have, you know, a very, very, very lucky, not lucky, but blessed here. I'm sorry, wrong word. There's people we know of that have church services in the mud, in the rain, in the open, in secret, in danger of their lives in this world today. The very worst we might experience is something happened. Brother Scotty didn't know it might be a little cool in here, a little warm in here. But he does a really good job of keeping us comfortable in here. And keeping this building up and going amongst all the other things that he does. That's part of what our tithes serve. That's what God said. If you want something in your life that looks like it's depreciating, or you have a deficit or lack, and you're not tithing, then there's your answer. I'm telling you from experience, not from reading words. I'm telling you from experience. Yes, there's been times that I didn't tithe. But very, 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 very few. I have give tithe and not have anything left, and then God took care of the rest. He exemplified and outdid himself in Philippians 4:19 in supplying all our needs that we needed more than once. Also in verse 11 in Malachi chapter 3, tithing holds God to his promises. What is his promise here? It's a guarantee. It says, prove me, and I will not open up the windows of heaven and bless you. That's powerful. Sometimes we read across it and we don't think about it. I stopped and thought about this quite a while back, and I listen to Brother Scotty when he teaches now, and I say, Lord, I wouldn't, you know, used to I'd listen to him when I first started church. I said, Lord, I want to get blessed like that. Now my heart's desire is, Lord, I want to bless somebody like that. I'm next, Lord. I'm going to use Brother Scotty's words. I'm next. I want to be a blessing to somebody. I want to help people. And I have some, me and my family, not a lot, but some. We're going to do more of it. April knows. I've told her before we're going to do it. But every time we do, we're blessed. It's never failed. Never, ever failed. So we pay our tithe. And said he will rebuke the devourer for our sake. What does that mean? Well, he keeps the things the enemy wants to throw at us away from us. What is that? It's things that the lost have coming against them in everyday life. Things breaking down, things going wrong, nothing seems to go right. Everything's sucking your money away, right and left. God rebukes that. He rebukes the devourer. What's the devourer mean? It means taking it away from you. He don't give nothing back. God rebukes that. That's awesome. If he rebukes that, then you've got an open doorway to receive the blessing. Now, what happens the reverse of that? Well, if you don't tithe, you don't get, you know, the whole bag. God can't, he's not going to break his law. He's not going to say, I'm going to hold it back over here for you, Brother Monty's. And I know you mean well. That ain't what his word says. I have to make the decision to obey God's law when it comes to anything. That's the number one thing, is to be obedient. Now, Sister Teresa has been teaching us a whole lot about loving other people more than we love ourselves. That's part of being obedient. And so is it in giving. If you want to receive God's blessing in giving, you have to make that decision. And every time you come to church, you say, well, I don't ever have the opportunity. Every time you come to church, you have the opportunity. If nothing else comes up. And we'll see some other things. And then when he says, when I open up the windows of heaven and bless you. Man, goodness. Now that's on top of the rain to grow the crops that goes to the market, goes to the stores we eat. That's on top of the sunshine to do the same thing, help them. That's on top of being healthy. That's on top of everything good that's going on in your life. He opens up the windows of heaven. Blessing is favor. So that's all extra. And he's going to open up where he lives and pour it out on you, on us. For what? For being obedient and showing him that we'd be obedient and give with a cheerful heart according to his word. Now the next thing I want to cover is first fruits. Will you put up Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 through 10, please, Travis? It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Have we heard that before? Amen. There's another guarantee, a promise from the Lord. Now, some people want to argue yet again, if when you first hear about first fruits in the Bible, it comes under the law of Moses. But what it means is it's found in, I didn't give you all this scripture because I'm not going to go to it, Travis. It's found in Exodus chapter 23 and Deuteronomy 18. What it means is give God first what you didn't have before, the increase. Now back then they had the farmer, I think there's a fancy word for it, is agrarian culture. You know, they grew crops to make their food and animals, raised animals, and anything above that, they sold maybe to make some money. But when their crops come up, they had them, right? What'd they have before the crops came up? Nothing. So that's increase. You say, how do I apply that? I don't grow things, and we don't grow, you know, just maybe a few plants in the garden. We're not like Brother Scotty. He's a farmer. He's not a commercial farmer, but he's kind of a semi-commercial farmer. He grows and gives away. But anyway, they didn't have it, then they had it, okay? One of the first things that you can look at is, what if you get a raise at work? You didn't have it, and then you got it. Where'd that come from? The Lord, that's right. Any born-again person that gets anything more than they had to start with, his increase, comes from the Lord. What does it say? Honor the Lord with thy substance and with what? The increase, the first fruits of all thine increase. In other words, take that when it first happens, the first time it happens. I'm a walking witness right here. I did this. Me and April did this. When I learned about this, the next thing I had a safety bonus come up at work. And where you can give it, it says in the Bible, to bring the first fruits again to the priest. Like I said, they had to have stuff to eat and to get by on. And God wanted the first fruits because it's holy to him. Because he's the one that gives it to you. So you keep it and you give it to God. So I had a safety bonus. And you give it to God's house or a person of God, a man of God or a woman of God. And you only have to do it once. Whereas tithing, you need to do on a regular basis. But you take the first fruit. Well, I had that bonus, and I took it, and I split it two ways, and I give one to one man of God, and I give one to another person of God. Man, I tell you what, I remember to this day that there was for a while, blessings just kept coming on us, just boom, 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 boom. Now, did I get rich? Maybe not a whole lot of money, but I remember our life was, it was awesome. I mean, it was just awesome. And I haven't done it since, and the Lord has got on to me about it, and I got to do it again. I don't have to do it again. You can do it one time. But I want to do it again because I want the purpose to be a giver. Because In God's word, givers gain. They receive. Now, I don't really want, if I do it to receive, that means that I want to be a blessing somewhere else again, because that's what I want to do. And whenever you do this first fruits giving, along with also a tithe, which, along with all giving, but this one in particular shows God that you're not greedy with your money. God was good to you and gave you favor and increased you. And if you gladly give it, then God sees that money does not control you. Money is not the currency of the kingdom. A lot of people think it is. It is not. Money, as the Bible says, the love of it, the love of money is the root of all evil. The want of it. I got to have it. That's all I want. That's what I live for. That's what I work for. It's what I crave. That is the root of all evil. That's the world's way, not God's way. When you do this, you're taking your increase, the first fruits, and you're giving it, and you're showing God, said, thank you, Lord, for what you give me. And every time that happens, if you want to, do it. But you only need to do it once to show God that money does not control you. And then stay with that pattern. Because when God sees that money does not control you, that's another thing that you can knock off the list that the enemy can't control you with. And I'm going to tell you, there's some Christians. There's a man I worked with a long time ago, back in the 90s. He was, I'm going to say, in outward appearance and his walk and talk, he was a devout Christian. And at the time, I had given my life back to the Lord and was trying, I say trying because I didn't have what it took then. I was working, you know, going to church. And we got to talk about giving and it fell on tithing. Now, this man had been a Christian for a long, long time. And he said, I believe you give what the Lord lays on your heart to give. And if he don't lay it on your heart, then you don't give it. And I knew about Malachi 3:10 at the time. I said, well, what about that? And his only words was, he kept repeating the same thing. I believe if the Lord lays it on your heart to give, you give it. If he don't, you don't. That's all he'd ever say. Well, I wish I could go back to then. Now I'd go back and say, because he was a friend. I said, what about, you're going to be cursed if you don't do what the Lord says, but that's all gone and over with. Well, what struck me as odd, I was a person trying to be, you know, a Christian and live for the Lord, and here's a person that their testimony is, I'm a Christian, but it didn't exactly line up with God's word, because I was raised to tithe. My daddy taught me. He said, I don't care if you don't eat, boy, you pay God what belongs to him. And that was instilled in me from a young age. So, whenever you show God that money does not control you, you also have a testimony. If your testimony, and you want your testimony in your life and your words to bring people to God, and you get hung up on money, what God's word says about money, you're going to have to get some stuff right. All of us, anybody that does that. But you give the first fruits, the first that you have, the increase. And once again, people say, well, that's in the Old Testament. Well, what 2 Timothy 3:16 just tell us? All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's good for what? Amen. It's good for it all. If you take the Old Testament, because we're living in so-called New Testament times, which is nothing more actually than the dispensation of grace, and you cut it off, and you don't put it in God's Word, what do you do about Jesus? He's in the Old Testament. I mean, that's the number one thing. That's the basis. Jesus, Calvary, the cross, the tomb, the ascension, the power, seated in heavenly places. What do you do with all of that? You're going to be left with a handful of words that says, D-A, that, then, and there. And it's going to be about it. So you have to learn. And I had to learn. All Scripture is good for inspiration. It's given by inspiration of God. And it's good, I'm going to paraphrase, for everything that God's got in store for you. First fruits also, when you give, the reason you give to a personal God or God's house, it shows God that you love hearing His word. You're eager for it. You want to do what it takes to continue. Can you imagine? I don't know nothing about the finances of this church, and I don't want to. It's not my business. But kids, use your imagination. If we didn't tithe or give, who would pay for this? There ain't but one other way it can happen. God tells somebody else to do it. And then you have a congregation of cursed people. Usually what happens is that leads to destruction. I can only imagine what it would be like to live a Christian life without the blessing of the Lord. If you don't give, you're taking out a phase of blessing and favor that God has in store for all of us. But when you give the first fruits and you give to His house, it shows you're eager for that to continue. You want to keep hearing it. You want that place to be there for the rest of your life. And like Brother Scotty said, for generations, for your kids' kids. Because you have received, you know what it is, and you want them to have it. And when you give, especially in the first fruits, that shows God that you're eager to keep hearing it, and you want it to always be here. Now we're going to move on to the next one, is almsgiving. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, please, Travis. And this is Jesus talking. Now, I know we've all heard this, but I'm going to read it again. Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not your alms." All alms is given to the needy, to the person that needs it. It might not always be somebody in poverty, but it's a person in need. Most of the time, that's what it refers to. "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do." Take note of that. "As the hypocrites do." So what happens? You say, "Oh, I give to Brother Johnny over there. I found out he needed $5, and I supplied his need." You go spouting that off to everybody. Number one, you're not going to have a reward from the Father, and you're going to do as the hypocrites. "As the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men." That's all it's good for. You want somebody to know what you've done. Look at me. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thy alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." There one more verse. "That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." Now, in almsgiving and the tithing, God opens up the windows of heaven and pours out blessing on you. In first fruits, He blesses all your increase to give you more increase. In almsgiving, it says in Proverbs 19:17, please, Travis. And I'm another walking witness of this scripture right here. "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he," the person that's given, "hath given, will he," the Lord, "pay him," the person that's given, "again." So whatever you give to the needy, if you see somebody needs a need, God will give that amount back to you. That's 100% given. That's not 100-fold given. We'll get to that in a little bit. That's 100% return. One day, it's been several years ago, I found out a member of our congregation that went to church here had a need. It was a money need. I found out about it. I come to church that Sunday, and I told April before we left, I said, "This is not really going to feel good to our pocketbook, but I believe the Lord wants me to do this," and we supplied that need. Now, you might say, "Well, you're saying what that says not to do." That's all done and over with. God has awarded me already. I'm doing this for the glory of God and His Word. As a walking witness, I give to that need. Before I got off these church grounds, it was repaid to me by somebody else. Whew. Man, I just received revelation or something. I got hot all over. Man. I was like, goodness gracious, well, you know if this is true, the others is true. I mean, it's all true anyway, I believe that. But I mean, if you're trying to convince somebody, you know, if this is working, then I know this works. I'm talking to me. I know this other's going to work. Tithing's going to work. Yeah, I see that. First fruit's going to work. I've seen that happen. That's the first time I ever did it. And then I've done this. That's not the first time I ever give to anybody. But it's the first time that it happened that quick. You know, sometimes you'll give, and it might be a few days or a week or two, a month later, and you might receive something, and the Holy Spirit will quicken you, say, that's where I led you to give, the Father said to give. It happened to me the same day. I said, goodness gracious. Anybody else need some? And I'm telling you, and I give another time. The Lord told me in April to give, and it wasn't much. It was not much. I'm telling you, it was not much. And we give it where God said to give. It's all that we had. Praise God. He let me know about 3 months later. Man, he gave a lot more than that back. I sowed that one as a seed, and I'm getting ahead of myself. And I tell you what, every time I think about it, when Brother Scott gets up here and he teaches about giving and prosperity, like he said, it's not got to do with the money. That's at the bottom of the list. But God has laws about giving. And giving, especially in our society today, mostly has to do with money, not all, because it's mostly what people need, that, or at least they think they need. Sometimes it's a direct need. Sometimes they need to be in church and hear about Jesus. Sometimes they need to hear us tell them about Jesus. Sometimes they need to hear us tell them what we've learned in church that day. And it might be about giving. And if a lost person, I'm going to say this much because I have this much belief in God. If a lost person gives according to the Bible, I believe it'll bring them to God. Get them saved. I firmly believe that. Because they're given according to His Word. And what does His Word say? It shall not go out void. But it tells us, alms is given in secrecy. Why? It protects the person that has the need. I'm telling you, I've had needs before, me and my family. And I didn't want to go out and ask anybody for anything. You know, it just does not feel good. I've had to before. It don't feel good. But now, I go to the Lord. I say, Lord, I need this. I don't know how. I don't know what, but I need this. I don't have to go out and ask people for it. The reason your almsgiving, you don't tell anybody about it, is not necessarily to get your reward, but you get your reward because you're being loved toward the other person that's in need and not blowing your horn about their problems. Nobody wants to have their need or their problem blown all over the place, all over town, all over church, all over everybody's living room. Nobody wants that. As a man, even in the godly principles, the leader of the house, I know that God is our supplier. It does not feel good to me whenever, for whatever reason, things are not lining up and I want to try to do it on my own and I'm not supposed to because I've got to rely on God to do it. It don't feel good in that in-between time. As a husband and a father, it hurts. It hurts bad. But I have to learn to put that away and trust in the Lord. That was a hard thing for me because I had that ingrained in myself all of my life. It was really hard for me. Well, if I don't do this, then no, you got to let God do it. And that's not why I work a job, is to provide for my family. I heard somebody say, well, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. No, it ain't. I said in the beginning that our God is a God of provision. God can't provide if you're not abiding according to His law. And you have to make the decision. He's not going to make us. He's not. In other words, God's not standing back here and saying, well, I'm not going to do this until you do that. He's not hanging a bribe over us. He's simply telling us, if you will do that, I will do this. And it was really hard for me to let go of that, being a husband and a father. And like I said, the reward for it is replacement, reimbursement, dollar for dollar. All you have to do is be nice, and to put it bluntly, keep your mouth shut. I mean, if I'm going to help somebody, and I know they got a problem that they can't help themselves, and I'm going to help them, I don't need to go around talking about that to anybody. That's not Christianly. Jesus didn't do it. Sister Teresa's been teaching us about it for how many weeks now? A month? Yeah. That's just the basis of the giving. Now I'm going to get into one that's really controversial. I'm going to use this phrase, the scripture from Matthew 13, 3 through 9, Travis. It's seed giving. I'm sorry, before I put that up there, will you put Luke 21, 1 through 4 up there? I'm going to start with it first. Now, a lot of people, I used to have a little bit of problem with the seed giving. I didn't think it was wrong, but I couldn't see how, you know, I know the Lord can bless you and He can multiply anything He wants to, but I'm having trouble with connecting it in the Bible. And this is the revelation the Lord, the Holy Spirit, gave me. Now, Jesus and the apostles are in the temple watching people come in and give their offerings. And Jesus, and it says, and He looked up, Jesus, and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury. And He saw also a certain poor widow casting into the in thither two mites, which is pennies to us. And He said, Jesus said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all of these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. You heard the phrase, if you have a need, sow a seed. The word penury there means poverty. Really extreme lack. Means you need everything. The people that was given before her was given because they had extra. In other words, it wasn't going to hurt them. She gave all she had because she needed so much. If that's not a seed offering, there's no such thing. It's right there. Now, Brother Travis, will you put Matthew 13 up there, please? And this is Jesus talking again. We have studied this plenty of too, but I'm just going to go over it again. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell onto good ground and brought forth. Now this is the one that I want to really look at. Others fell onto good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, Jesus interpreted this parable, the sower sows the word. That's true. Jesus is talking about sowing the word of God. I'm not taking anything away from that. I'm not going to try to. What have I just showed you? It's in the word of God. Giving. If you sow the word of God and you're talking about giving, and it says in the last verse there, some other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. The good ground is your heart's right, and you give according to the word onto good ground. Good ground is where God tells you to give it, according to His word, what the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And when you do, you'll do what? Brought forth fruit. What is that? Everything I've been telling you is the reward connected with the giving, the type of giving. This is seed giving. This is where you get the major blessings whenever you do what God says to do. I have sowed seed before. I've not got all of the increases here. But it says some 30, or some 100, some 60, and some 30. Now, 100-fold is not 100%. We just seen that in almsgiving. God will give you back 100% of what you gave. Hundredfold is 100% times 100. If you do your math in your head, that's 10,000. Now, am I saying every time you give seed, you're going to receive 100,000-fold or 10,000 gain? Well, no, God said it. If you give it according to God's word, the way He says to give it, and you have faith, because in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You might ask, well, what's that got to do with it? Well, if you don't have the faith to believe God's word, then none of your giving is going to do you any good. I firmly believe that. There's some people think, well, I give, and God said, since I give, well, yeah, God did. But God also said what in Hebrews 11:6 I just quoted? You have to give everything according to the context of God's word when you're giving. You're giving faith. What does faith mean? Well, there's Hebrews 11:1 has a definition for it. But in your giving, that means you believe God. If you believe God, you're going to have a personal relationship with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have that personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, then God's word doesn't work for you. I feel bad for a person having to say that, but it's just the way it is. It's not God's fault. I get into a really long message, which I only got a few minutes I can't do. It started way back in Genesis chapter 3. God gave man everything he needed, 100-fold. A place to eat, a place to live, a place to eat, and rule over it all. You're the boss. Have at it. Do what I said to do. Rule, replenish, multiply. Well, the next thing you know, we fell into disobedience and we gave up the dominion, the rule. And in the disobedience, we give it to the very enemy that hates us as much as he hates God. And of course, the key to that is what I just said a while ago, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, back to God. That's the reason the word redeemed means so much to me. Jesus brought us back, and He didn't just bring us back from where we were at. He brought us back 100-fold. I firmly believe that in my heart. We have salvation. We have healing. We receive the Word. We have a place to receive the Word. We have great teachers, our pastor and his wife here. And I have very good examples in this church for me to go by. I'm still learning. And then we have children we can teach. You know, I don't know about y'all, but it feels good to teach my kids to do what God says to do. There's a revelation in it. I don't know how to explain it, but there is. Especially when they obey and do it. Because now they're all nearly grown and they're going to be, I've got some out on their own. Because, you know, they're going to have to do what me and Mama's been doing. They're going to have to learn to rely on God. They're going to have to learn, I don't work to make my living. They're going to have to learn to tithe. They're going to have to learn to give first fruits to get increase. They're going to have to learn you need to be heed the ones in need and help them. And you need to learn how to give a seed sowing according to God's word. Most of all, you need to hear God's word. They're going to have to make all them decisions by themselves. And me and April have done everything that we know to do. We bring them to church. We tell them what God's word says. If it ain't in the Bible, you ain't supposed to do it. If it's in the Bible, you're supposed to do it. Because 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is good for reproof, good for instruction in righteousness, and sound doctrine. And I paraphrased. I missed that a little bit. But y'all know what I mean. Now, I have given before and seed given and received. Personally, I don't keep track of it. But there was one time the Holy Spirit said, when I give a seed, it said your increase is according to the fruit of your giving. And what does that mean? Well, I give pretty good seed and receive back some. I want to receive the hundredfold. But I want to do it with God's heart in my heart. with God's will and God's word and God's way. I don't want to run out and give $100 or expect to receive 100-fold just because I handed somebody a $100 bill or whatever, a $5 or $20. I want to do it because God said, this is what I will do, and my word says I will do it, and this is what I want you to do. And that's what I am searching for. And God has told me, and I'm getting where I slacked off a little bit. I'm going to start giving some more seed. The other three given, I pretty much kept track of and give according to God's word. Seed given, I slacked a little bit, but I'm coming back. Praise God. That's all I got this morning. If anybody got anything they want to say.